Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Every Monday we get a chance to talk to State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Dunavant about the virus and the vaccine and the status of all that stuff. And last week, I was going to say you struck a nerve with a lot of people. I don't know if that's the right term, but you got a lot of people's attention with your comments about vitamin D. And I went over to my parents' house. You know, my mother is practically a drug dealer when it comes to natural supplements. I mean, she's got a closet that's filled with vitamin C and vitamin D and all this. I mean, she's not selling rattlesnake rattles out of the closet, but I have my bottle of vitamin D based on our conversation yesterday, and I've been taking two every day just to try to do whatever I can to stop the virus from impacting me potentially. Did you get a reaction to that last week? Because a lot of people wrote me and said, "What did she say? What did she say?"
I didn't get a big reaction to it, but I've been, each group I've talked to, each place I've been, I brought it up because I feel like it's a public service announcement. You know, the data, you know, when I look at how we've handled COVID, if you want to talk about my biases, why didn't we spend more time talking about things like that, things people could do to empower themselves to be healthier and better? Again, we have a doctor as a governor. You know, why didn't we have conversations? You don't have to say go take it, but you can say go look at it and study it like I did. Because I was pretty inspired when I saw it. I wish I'd known it a year ago. And so it's interesting, but everywhere I go, people write it down because everybody wants to do what they can to be healthy. And I'll point out, it's not just COVID. It's a lot of other illnesses. Vitamin D is good for your general immunity. It's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate it. Anything I could do that isn't a drug that's natural that just helps me be healthier. I mean, I could lose this 30 pounds I've gained over the last year. That seems to be one of the key factors when you look at the people who have passed away who are not in that elderly age group, is relative obesity. And it has kind of lit a fire under my butt to get out and walk and maybe not have that extra ice cream sandwich at night because I got to lose this weight.
Right. That seems to be one of the most significant risk factors for COVID. And interestingly, back on the vitamin D, because it is a fat-soluble vitamin, it gets distributed in your fat. So if you have more fat, you have less vitamin D actively working in your bloodstream because it's going into your fat. So the obesity and vitamin D are linked to risk also.
Gotcha. I wanted to ask you about this herd immunity line that's being pushed. And I, you know, we discussed many months ago whether we should plan to let the virus work its way through the population, especially through the healthy young population, and just get it over with a lot of the people who would then supposedly develop immunity. But now they're discussing herd immunity because of the vaccine. And I've got a couple of friends who I concede are not doctors. They're not, they're not schooled in this, but they've spent a lot of time studying it, who were saying, you know, why are we talking about herd immunity when it comes to the vaccine? Because that's not really herd immunity, is it? The vaccine provides, it's not insulating you from getting the virus. It's just changing the way your body reacts to it. Is that an accurate statement?
No, it's simulating an infection with the virus without you having all of the symptoms of the virus, and it triggers your immune system to develop antibodies just like it would if you had the virus itself.
Just like
it. As best we know, just like it.
Okay.
And you can develop herd immunity. Many would say herd immunity is ideally created with vaccination because then people don't have to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at childhood illnesses, if you look at polio, which is basically almost knocked out around the world, that's herd immunity from vaccination. Measles, mumps, and rubella, mostly herd immunity from vaccination, except when there are a bunch of people that won't take the vaccination. But most people don't have to get the illness if we can have sufficient vaccination rates to make sure everybody will. So basically, when you have immunity, if you get exposed to COVID, it never creates this dramatic inflammatory response in your immune system because the little memory antibodies are already there. And as soon as they see the COVID, they kill it.
They suppress it.
So it never has a chance to make you sick.
So that's the next part of their assertion, is that all these people who are saying you're a horrible person, you're undermining our efforts to stop this virus and the mutations that I guess naturally occur with it. If you don't take the vaccine, you know, you're really not a citizen, a good citizen for not taking the vaccine. How are you responding to, I mean, I've had people tell me that directly, especially after last week when I said, I may take the vaccine, but I don't have any obligation to tell the government if I do or not. And I feel pretty strongly about that. They were adamant that I should be on the radio telling everyone you must take the vaccine, because if you don't, you're undermining public health in a wider sense, a broader sense.
I would say it sounds more and more like a Big Brother society than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that, you know, one of the things for me as I look at these issues is that you have to have a set of basic principles that help you decide how to decide things.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, my life in medicine has been very structured, and it's very much aligned with my philosophy on human beings and valuing them and, you know, most of my political principles. There's something called a patient bill of rights. And that's actually been written down because the importance of the ethics in that situation were so great. And that is an individual's freedom to make decisions about their medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to surrender that with a legal document. With a medical power of attorney. And people have always had the right to decline interventions that may help them because they decide it's not for them.
Yeah.
So from that ethos, I think that you can't force people. I think there's a different conversation about a collaborative conversation in society when we want the greater good for all that we agree to and being forced to do something. Those are two different political philosophies. Democrats want to force you to do things. Republicans, I'd like to think, want to have a conversation about how we collaboratively solve problems together. But everybody doesn't have to be exactly the same.
Yeah. Well, that debate is coming to a head here, it seems. And I think it's an important one because it sets the tone for all of our societal interactions going forward. Real quick, because I do need to run, your snap assessment of where we are in Central Virginia and Virginia statewide when it comes to infections and deaths?
Really good, and it's a time to pivot on data.
Mm-hmm.
We can't look exactly at percent positivity anymore because the number of tests are dropping. And remember, the percent of test positives are dependent upon the denominator of how many tests are being done.
Right, right.
And I think the way you start talking about herd immunity is to see how many people are dying, how many people are sick. And those numbers are really, really low, and they're back to endemic rates, which is kind of the low, probably not going to go away rate that we're going to see. And it may never go away. It may, you know, when everybody gets inoculated or has immunity, and we're getting there, but it's definitely dramatically down.
Okay. Well, that's a positive thing for us to end this conversation on. I do appreciate that you come on every Monday. I know a lot of people really have bookmarked this to listen to you, and you've been a great resource and words of wisdom every week. Siobhan Donovan, State Senator Siobhan Donovan from Henrico County, who also is Dr. Siobhan Donovan. Thank you.
Thank you.